Well, friends, I'm going to pray as we start. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word recorded for us, that as we hear it and put it into practice, that life emerges. It's your life. You want us to be happy, and our happiness is bound up in you. May we truly hear your voice today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever done it yourself or seen it happen where there's two parents and there's a kid in the middle, and each of the parents say, "Come on, come to me, come to daddy, or come to mummy." You ever seen that before? And the kid's like, "Which way do I go?" But what if one parent had lollies? Which way would it go? We see this on an even more compounded scale if parents actually, the family fractures and they live in separate places, and there's this tearing between the kid, and one of the parents lets the child do whatever it wants. You want your friends over? Yeah. Want an Xbox? Sure. Want to stay up all night? Go for it. Can I have takeaway? Yes. And the other parent, "Oh no, do your homework. No, no, it's your bedtime. No, no, you eat your vegetables." You put the kid in the middle. Which way will it go? We all know which way it should go. Actually, both parents should be there. But that doesn't always happen. But we tend to make a decision that goes to the way of our getting our own way, don't we? But the wise way, the right way, would be go towards the parent that's being a parent rather than one who was letting the other child have everything. Well, today in our Proverbs, there is actually a very similar sort of thing going out, that there's two women, or used as women, to describe two situations. So if you tuned in halfway through the reading, you might say, "Oh, why are they talking about folly being a woman?" Well, actually, at the start of it, they talked about wisdom being a woman. So it's actually just using two women here in this chapter. One wise, one being wisdom, and one being folly. And both of these women are calling out, "Come to me. Come to me." So wisdom, we read in verse 1, has built her house. She's put up 7 pillars. She prepared meat and wine and set the table. She sent out her servants and calls from the highest point in the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." Then later on, we hear at the end of chapter 9, folly is an unruly woman. She calls the simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of the house on a seat at the highest point in the city, calling out who pass by, "Let all who are simple come to my house." So there it is. There's two calls. But the calls of what happens when you enter the house are very, very different. The woman who is wisdom says, "Let all who are simple come, eat my food, drink my wine, leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." So come to me and leave your simple ways behind. However, the other woman, folly, says, "Let all who are simple come to me." It's the same call, but the response is different. She says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." That's weird, right? Has anyone here ever stolen water? I see that hand. No. I was going to go past someone's house this morning and take it and get someone to taste it and see if it really was sweeter. But it's that idea that if something's forbidden, then it's somehow it's more alluring. Or food eaten in secret is delicious. No one else knows, and you're taking more than what you should, or it's not yours, and you're eating it. Now, it's just not true that stolen water is sweet, but eaten food in the cupboard, like those biscuits that you'd eat as a kid when your parents aren't looking, is somehow more delicious. It's a lie, actually. But there's the enticement that this lady folly is calling people to do. To have your own way, live by the things that make you feel good rather than the things that are right. So the call goes out in Proverbs chapter 9. Folly and wisdom both call out to us. Come to me. However, one way will lead to life and one will lead to death. As it says at the end of verse 18, when it talks about the people who come to folly's house, but little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Right through the book of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom and folly. Or it might talk about the wise or the fool. It might talk about those who are simple, or those who lack understanding, or those who seek knowledge or wisdom. And there's these two polars. And the Book of Wisdom wants us, the Book of Proverbs wants us to hear the call of wisdom to come to the house. And to leave the way of folly. One of the things that this Proverbs book is designed to do is to help us to see in our own lives where I was a bit of a fool there, and to recognize it, and then to leave that house and go to the house of wisdom. These calls are not meant to leave us sitting and go, well, I'm a fool and that's it, so I'm just going to stay that way. But rather to recognize, oh, gee, I wish I had have chosen a different way then. Well, I'm going to rectify that now. I'm going to choose the house of wisdom instead. In chapter 9, very quickly, there are two examples of wisdom or folly, whether you're in the house of wisdom or the house of folly. So verse 7, it says, whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. So if someone comes to you and says, oh, hang on, I'm not sure that that's the right way to go, if you're in the way in the house of folly, you will just react to someone rebuking you or saying that the way that you're doing it's not right. And again, it says in verse 8, don't rebuke mockers or they will hate you. So if you talk to someone in the way of foolishness, if you correct them at all, they're not going to like that. However, if you rebuke a wise person, they will love you. I remember I've been married 21 years. So it was 21 years ago on January 5th. That was January 4th that this happened, 21 years ago. Someone who hadn't been in our country for a while was my auntie. She came up to me on the night before my wedding and said, Trev, I want to tell you that I'm embarrassed by what you're doing. And I'm like, what? She said, you treat your dad with disrespect. The way you talk to him is a shame. It's sad. Now, if I was a wicked or a mocker at that point, I would have said, well, you don't know what you're talking about. My daddy just he's so frustrating. It's all his fault. If he just would be more sensible, then I would pay him more respect. That's what a mocker would do. However, something different happened in that case for me. When I heard that rebuke, I took a step back. And I'm like, oh, is that true? And then my dad came in a few minutes later. And what did I do? I talked to him in disrespect. And you know what happened? I heard it. I heard the disrespect that came out of my mouth. And my heart was broken. It was already sort of broken because my auntie had said, those who are wise will heed the rebuke. Those who are not will be stubborn and will fight back. Throughout the book of Proverbs and the rest of the Bible, we come to learn quickly that those who are wise are humble and are prepared to see that they need help. Whereas in the book of Proverbs and throughout the Bible, the fool are the ones who say, I've got it together. My way is right. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. Part of the humility that comes out of being recognizing that you need help allows you to be instructed. However, if you take the foolish part, you're always right. You can't be told anything. Your way is always the best way. However, the wise realize that they have much to learn. And so they're willing to listen. They're not always quick to speak. But they'll really listen to what's being said. And they will learn more and more each day. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. This is a really interesting proverb. The wise in heart accept commands, i.e. they're listening to what other people say, whether it's a boss or if it's a parent to a child, whatever it is. They'll listen to what's being said to them or asked of them, and then they'll go about to do it. Whereas a chattering fool will come to a situation and they'll sort of listen, but they're not really. Then they'll just go and do whatever they want anyway. I see this often in basketball, where the kids come in, you explain the drill, and there are normally two kids who are talking to each other. We go out and do the drill. What happens? Can't do it. One other time last season, we were right at the end of the game and we had one thing we needed to do. And I called a timeout, brought the kids in, and I'm like, right, we need to do this. And you, there's one thing you need to do. Go and do this. Well, they went onto the court and did exactly the opposite. Why? Because they weren't listening to what I was saying. They thought they knew how to play. And we subsequently lost that game, but that's okay. But it's very interesting that so often in our life, we fail to listen. Whereas wisdom, the house of wisdom, will help us to listen to others and discern what is good. And it will help us to make much, much better decisions throughout our lives. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. I think we all at times locate ourselves and recognize that we act foolishly at times. So this isn't a total polarity that you're either a fool or wise. Sometimes we find ourselves in both camps. But I pray that as we today continue to think through the Proverbs, we'll hear that call from the wise wisdom house. Come to me. Eat my bread. Drink my wine. When I used to read the Proverbs at Bible college, this one stood out to me. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool bent on folly. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. I've got a really interesting video, and that doesn't go for long. It's from Star Wars. Anyone watch Star Wars? Good. Not the original, it's one of the later ones. Actually, I should be able to do it. Here we go. Oh, no, actually, it's not going to work. Why is that not going to work? Oh, I just had a meltdown. I'm like, I'm not going to show you the video, by the way. No, it'll work for the next service if you want to come back and see it. The video, it simply says this. That in the Clone Wars, they're trying to work out where this dart comes from. Obi-Wan goes and finds Dex. He's this guy who knows all sorts of things. And he was talking about, well, the droids couldn't pick up where this thing came from. And Dex said, well, you Jedi should know above all that there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And the verse that we just had before, it said that wisdom adorns knowledge. Because you could have all this stuff that you know, but if you're not wise, actually, you could still be pretty foolish. In fact, some of the smartest people I know are horrible people. So knowledge is not what wisdom is necessarily. But wisdom adorns knowledge because it weighs it up and it chooses what is right. Whereas the mouth of the fool will rush in and gush out all sorts of stuff. And so you might have all this knowledge and pour it out all over everyone and it just wrecks the situation that you're in. Wow. Whereas the wise will make knowledge shine and bring life to the situation. Proverbs 4 says, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget my words or turn away from them. Or come to my house, wisdom says, be here. Well, how do we get wisdom? The first way that we would go about getting wisdom is to listen to what Proverbs says, and say, where it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that we correctly heed to the words of God. Then we would need some humility, recognizing that we don't have all the wisdom or knowledge and that we need help. So through humility then, we can ask God, say, God, can you give me wisdom? In James it says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who will generously give to all without fault, and it will be given to you. So let's pray, friends, that God would give us wisdom. Wisdom comes as well as we read our scriptures, and we will find out that the wisest one ever was amongst us in the Lord Jesus. In Luke 11, it says, the queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. For she came to the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something then greater than Solomon is here. We recognize, and the gospel writers knew, that Jesus was the wisest one ever. And it would do well for us, if we want wisdom, to seek him out and to find him. Remember that parable where Jesus talked about the people who built their house on the rock or sand? And it's the foolish one who built their life on the sand, but the wise one on the rock. His teaching is the place where we start with our wisdom. I'm almost done, but I just also want to recognize that sometimes wisdom might seem foolish to other people. I.e., when we follow Jesus, there'll be people in this world who will think that we are being foolish. Now, that's not a modern thing. No, that was around when the Apostle Paul was about. And he said in 1 Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him. But God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. But Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. It says again in Corinthians that the wisdom of God, or the foolishness of God, sorry, is wiser than the wisdom of men. And in our Lord Jesus, one who was wiser than Solomon, but took to a cross so that we could know forgiveness, is just the most amazing thing that we've ever heard. Well, I pray, brothers and sisters, that we all will come to the house of wisdom, that we'll come and seek out Jesus, that we'll pray for wisdom, that we'll be humble enough to listen to others, to know that we don't have it all together, asking for mercy and continuing to learn all our lives. May God be with you.